everyone, and welcome to Rewatchable number 169. Today we will be talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Season 4, Episode 2, Living Conditions, and Angel, Season 1, Episode 2, Lonely Hearts. As usual, you can hit us up on email at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at re_watchable. You can also find us on this post on hypeable.com or visit us at rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. My name is Karen, and I am joined today by Mitch, Ariana, and Natalie, who are all crazy today, but in the best possible way.
I don't think we're crazy, Karen. I just think that you're grumpy because of the heat.
It is quite hot here today.
We're not going to say the H word, but that's probably why we're crazy.
We've just all been a little ridiculous before this started, so it should be a good episode today. But I want to get into fun facts, because I want Mitch to go first, because I have a feeling I might know what he's going to talk about.
No, you don't, because I'm going to fastball here. I was actually panicking. I couldn't think of one, so I don't know what you think I was going to say. You'll have to tell me it after. No, I built a giant bed loft thing, and it's amazing, because I feel like I am king of the world on top of it. And it's like every day I feel like I'm in a bungalow. Like there's so many levels to climb. And my cat can climb a ladder. Does anyone have a cat that can climb a ladder? I feel like I should put this in America's Funny Home Videos or something. It's amazing.
Wait, so your bed, then it's like a bunk bed without the bottom bunk?
Yeah, it's magical. It is so cool. I'm so excited for this, guys.
That's interesting. I've seen videos of cats climbing ladders. I thought you were going to talk about Pokemon Go.
Oh, you know, okay, here's the thing. I think it's because there's a thing about it being all Generation 1, I think. I've just barely gotten into it because I look at it and I'm like, this looks like it's just pandering to people who hate on the rest of the genre of the series. And that makes me upset, because there are a lot of Pokemon outside of Gen 1 that are cool. So I'm almost kind of boycotting it. I haven't even opened up the app yet. I know. It's like,
oh my gosh.
You think I would, right? You think I'd be on the streets? Like,
wow. You are such a nerd that I, like, did not understand 90% of that.
I don't understand this Pokemon thing. Someone's going to get hit by a car doing it. Did you see someone found a dead body
while doing it?
Like, it's
to see something good has come from it.
Oh, that's good, isn't it?
Yes.
That's
good. Yeah.
The world is coming together because of Pokemon Go, and we really needed this.
Kids
right
are
now,
exercising.
Okay? I went outside twice in one day the other day. I mean, that literally never happens.
You are playing now, Karen.
Yes.
Is it just Gen 1? It is, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I'm wondering, though, because this is just, like, its initial run, if they're going to add more, because I was really surprised it only had those two.
That's just so stupid. It's like a 20-year-old series, and they're still focusing on their original, like, cast. That's ridiculous.
But that's, like, just started. I feel like those are the only ones most people care about. Like,
I know, and that's the thing. Like, I just feel like this game's not for me, because it's meant for a more general audience, and I would be really frustrated being like, I've caught them all, now what?
But don't you like Pikachu anyway?
I do. I ran a Pokemon podcast, guys. Trust me, I can rant about Pokemon. You would hear it. There are more reasons why I'm not playing this thing. There really are.
But well, I think that they're going to improve on it, and, you know, whatever. I'm excited. I think it's cool. Plus, that was my fun fact.
I'm kind of afraid I'll be addicted, Karen. Are you addicted to it? That's another thing I'm in part of this.
I'm not addicted to it, but it's quite fun, and when I remember that it's there, I'm like, oh, I could go outside. This is nice, and I'm actually excited to go explore the neighborhood.
Can't you just sit in your bed and, like, that's the thing? Like, I don't know why anyone is getting up. I would probably aim it out my window and make it feel like I was looking in a new
area.
Doesn't
work that way.
No? Okay.
Just trust me. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, that's enough about Pokemon. Ariana, what's your fun fact?
My fun fact is that my roommate is gone right now, and which, obviously, I miss her a lot. But it's really fun because I get to do things like today. I just started, like, dancing for no reason in my apartment. And not, like, I wish it was, like, the cute dancing that they do in movies where, like, girls are, like, cute dancing in their underwear. But mine was more, like, awkward dancing in sweatpants, like, pretending I'm a ballerina, even though I've never taken ballet. So
it was risky business,
that was
wasn't
fun.
It? Were you going around?
No.
I would.
I wish I was cute like that, but I'm not. It was more like interpretive dancing.
Oh, should have filmed it just for our enjoyment.
interpretive dancing is cool, too. I bet it looked awesome, and that you had something very smart to say in your interpretive dancing. Natalie, what's your fun fact?
My fun fact is that I am so scared of performance. Like what Ariana's saying, I could never do. Like, I don't dance alone. I am so trapped and crushed by shame that I am so scared of performance that I am scared to go to Disneyland next week and meet the fake Captain America. Not because I'm like, oh, it's stupid, it's not real. And I meet actors and I'm not scared. I don't have like that. But I have like stage fright over the idea of like interacting with a Disney character, like who's playing a character, and like, because it's being drawn into their performance, you have to pretend they're real, and like, you know, like you have to, and I can't do it. Like I'm like terrified. Like, I don't remember, like, how did we cope when I met Thor, Karen? I don't think I said anything.
Yeah, I
can't,
was about to say, Natalie, no. That Thor one is like a pretty intense, it's Disneyland in California.
I can't.
You don't like, do anything. Like, the pretending is like hard for you.
Yeah, I can't do anything performative. It just crushes me with shame and embarrassment and like nervousness. So how am I gonna do that?
When are you coming, Natalie?
Next Saturday to LA.
What's the occasion?
I'm just gonna miss you. That's so sad. I'm going to a wedding.
And see you at Comic-Con.
Nevada. I live in LA.
Anyway, I'm scared of the characters. What do I do?
Oh, Natalie.
Is avoiding them an option? I used to do that at, like, Hershey Park.
Everyone really wants to be Captain America, and I do, too. I just wish I was the kind of person that could, like, let go.
Okay. First up is Buffy, episode 402, Living Conditions. In this episode, Buffy learns that hell hath no fury like a Cher fan scorned. When Buffy and roommate Kathy are attacked by a demon on campus, both start to have dreams of blood rituals and soul-sucking. Soon, Kathy is playing Believe on repeat and leaving her toenail clippings on the floor, logically leading Buffy to the conclusion that this evil creature must be murdered. Giles and Willow learn that Kathy is indeed an evil demon, so they use a counterspell to give Buffy her soul bits back, thus sending Kathy back to her shareless dimension. I'm really curious off the bat, Natalie, do you like this episode? How does this one rank for you?
It's cute. I like the premiere better. This is kind of like just a more of a scene setting of like, oh, college, what's college going to be like? But I really like the premiere of 4 better than I remembered. What? You didn't like it?
No.
Okay, that's fine. You don't have to like it. I mainly liked it for Willow and Oz, not for actually Buffy.
Did anyone else actually enjoy when Believe was playing as much as it was? Because I kind of found it pleasant.
Oh my god.
I really don't like this episode. I think rewatching it, it was a lot more fun than I had remembered previously, but it's just something about this roommate always being like super chipper, and then I don't know, like Buffy kind of going crazy and murderous. It's grating for me.
This is like a bad Doctor Who episode. Like, it's like silly, you know? Like the concept of the demon not actually being that evil, you know, just being, oh, I just wanted to go to college, like, is kind of silly. I love everyone in it except Buffy and her.
Exactly.
And
like, this episode, Xander, like, infuriated Willow, me.
Oz, Xander, Willow, and Giles were all, like, great, but actually Buffy and the roommate were not. Great.
Yeah, that's probably why I don't really like the episode, is because they're too much to handle. But
I feel like the episode could have been redeemed if like the roommate had been allowed to stay. I kind of would have been down for that, to see like Buffy have a demon roommate. I think that would have been kind of cute. And I liked Kathy, so I was mad at Buffy the whole time, because I definitely like, thought she was the more worse roommate of the two.
Like, if Kathy had like secret had been open and then out in the open, and Buffy had been in on it, and so Kathy didn't have to like be so like posturing, and it could just be like slightly more chill. Yeah,
then that would make good roommates, because really well. Then she would be like, oh yeah, Buffy, like Buffy wouldn't have to pretend to not be the Slayer. She wouldn't have to pretend to not be the demon. They would really be ideal roommates for each other.
But then would Kathy think that it's okay to go out and kill her own kind. Like, go ahead, do your thing.
Kathy was just eating normal food and stuff. Yes. Like, I don't think Kathy was, like, murdering people. She was just trying to, like, hide her, you know, soul. And it was only, like, from her dad. Like, it wasn't, like, a big evil thing, like, where she was going to get killed. Like, if they just got the dad to let her agree to stay, then it would have been fine.
And how great was it that she was having, like, a demon conversation with her father where she was whining, like, Mom, you can't smile! Like, crying at him. It was the best. I laughed so hard because it was supposed to be a dramatic moment. But the way they were speaking, it sounded like some kind of, like, I don't, Natalie, you're a big Star Trek fan, so I probably should have chosen a different series. Is it, is Klingonese, is that what they speak?
Oh my!
It sounded like that to me. And it just was weird. Klingonese. It was really funny.
Klingonese!
I don't know. The guys with the big foreheads, sure. But regardless, like, it was just funny whenever she would, and her dad would try and, like, speak and stuff. Like, it just, like, the subtitles would only ever say, like, demonic language. But it was just so ridiculous sounding when they're trying to, like, chant and stuff. It was just hilarious to me.
Buffy.
Basically. Oh, I want to know, newbies, did you guys know that Kathy was a demon?
No, I definitely thought Buffy was just being a psychopath, which, I mean, I still kind of think she is. She didn't have any real evidence that she was a demon.
No, she didn't.
She was just being really spoiled and
she
annoying.
She got lucky that she was a demon, because she would have been, like, in a psych ward if she was not. Like, they tried to essentially, you know, stabilize her. Like, they're tying her up and stuff, because they're like, you're on a murderous rampage against a human being.
This one reminded me a lot of that other one that I didn't like, the John Ritter one, where I liked it at first when I thought he was human, and then I didn't like it when he turned out to be not human. That's kind of how I felt with this one.
Ted?
Yeah, it frustrates me that she's always validated in her craziness.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking maybe that's like her secret superpower. Like, maybe she does have a fifth sense for this, since she's the Slayer.
It felt like a Spidey sense to me.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, she was just tingling in a certain way. But the way that the show presented it, like when she's speaking to Willow, she's so calm about it, and Willow is so, oh my god, about it, that we're meant to understand Buffy is crazy. But then it's like, oh, but she's still okay, and she's right in this situation. It makes no sense.
Well, I think, first of all, we do have to remember that she was losing parts of her soul each night.
Was that what was making her so irritable?
I think it was helping. I think it preyed off of her personality, which can sometimes be grating like that, but I think that's definitely something that led to it.
You know what's funny is when they talked about the only child thing, and I know you're an only child, Karen, so I'm not hating on only children. except I am a little bit. We had this one girl when we studied abroad, and we had like 15 people in our apartment flat, but she had a share room with one other girl. The one girl she shared with was like the most like laid back, calm, clean, nice girl, like out of everybody. And this girl was convinced that she had the worst roommate in the entire planet because, oh my god, she walked so loudly. And that really reminded me of Buffy. But we used to talk about her, the girl who would complain about the other girl, because she had never shared a room before. She was an only child, and then she hadn't shared a room in college because she got her own room. So,
I mean, let's be real, Buffy complaining about her ironing her jeans was a little over the top. Like,
yeah.
I mean, there's several reasons to think
Buffy, like, Buffy was putting her gum underneath her books.
Oh, yeah, and Buffy was eating her food, which to me, that is a big no-no, okay?
And drinking milk like a psycho. Like, it was all so stupid. Like, Buffy, you can tell.
That is way worse. I hate it when people eat my food. Ugh.
But, like, to do it in front of you, it felt like a sitcom. Like, it didn't even feel like Buffy the Vampire Slayer anymore. She's gulping it all down and it's spilling all over her face. It was gross.
Yeah. The tone of all of those, like, high tension, I'm irritated scenes. And it was well done in that it made me full of hate. But I was still full of hate. I did not like the show better for it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, which is actually how Ted made me feel, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it gives you this really strong reaction to the episode, and I guess that's what they're going for, but it doesn't
matter.
You kind
of don't
like
go
it.
Out of it being like, high five, Buffy, good for yeah. you. I really want to watch that episode again. Like, yeah.
What I haven't liked about these past two episodes this season, which I feel the same way about Ted, is that they don't feel like real Buffy episodes to me. They feel like they're sort of like outside the universe. Like, they almost feel like fan fiction, or like, I don't know. They don't have the same tone as most episodes. I don't know. It feels like it feels like it's not real to me. I don't know. There's no...
What, they're, like, doing a spoof episode of their own show?
Except that it's not made by this people. Like, it's a web series made by other people who are fans. Like,
yeah, I can see that.
And it's done really poorly. I don't know. I feel like all the joy is gone. Like, I know Angel is supposed to be the darker show, but I definitely feel like this second episode was, like, a lot lighter.
See, I wonder if Josh isn't leaning on Angel to be darker.
I think just Angel has a darker
theme song with the cellos.
Oh god, it's so
frame
dramatic.
Darker framework. It's like, lol, this is a noir show, but we're gonna subvert that. Like, whereas Angel, Buffy was like, lol, it's a high school show, but we're gonna subvert that. I think Angel is as light and funny at times as Buffy, like, easily.
I don't know. I was finally liking Buffy at the end of season 3. I liked, like, the vibe they had going on, and now I don't know.
Do you think that
they feel like they're trying to find themselves again?
Well, Ariana, do you
think... I mean, they are, I guess, because, like, they're out of the high school, you know, they're in college, and it's, like, completely new setting of everything. So it's like they kind of had to restart everything about the structure of the show. But I don't know.
Also, Oz and Xander have, like, nothing to do. Or Giles.
Well, they have a lot to do. Adiana, are you kidding me?
Willow doesn't do anything either.
They have a lot to do together nowadays.
That's right. I forgot.
Okay. Because Coffee is now sunk. It's done. But, guys, witness the rise of Zaz. Because it's happening. It has already happened. You didn't even know it was going to... Like, the whole should we hug or too manly thing, I was like, this episode? Whew, they're getting cozy. It does not take a long time for them to, like, cuddle up.
Because they were knocked out unconscious together?
Well, like, that one is just kind of, like, subtle, Stare! Like, it's kind of like, that's like in Scary Movie when the killer likes to try and pose people, like, dead on top of each other kind of stuff. Like, to say, haha, they might be gay, this is funny. But no, I started to feel like that when they're cuddling up against each other, like, almost literally, like, holding on to each other, which I know I'm making a big deal out of nothing, but this is what I do with my ships, guys. When the demon growls at them, and they kind of just, like, Oz has this very chill face on, and Xander's just like, my bae's got me. It's so, you have to go back and look at that scene, you'll see what I'm talking about, because I felt like there was a little something going on there, but,
is
I mean...
Is there a single person, though, in the entire world that would not be felt, like, would not feel more calm and better and good when Oz is around?
No.
Is there
no.
a single human
Thus
being
Thus proving my
who
ship even more.
Like... He's just perfect. Like,
yeah, that's why Xander's like, okay, I've chased after all my lady friends for so long. I'm just going to go for Oz.
He does look remarkably like Willow, so he can just, like, pretend she's Willow.
I'm happy with Oz staying kind of, like, in the limelight. Like, his girl talk with Buffy, like, they're writing him in scenes that I find to be perfect for the character, for the actor, and for what the show needs, because it balances it out really well.
Really, I still feel like he isn't doing very much. I wish that they would do more with him.
I'm saying, like, I find his inclusion here good because he still has yet to feel like a true blue Scooby to me, but I feel like he's always going to be like that because he doesn't talk. He just, like, is so dry.
I don't know. You know what I find myself wishing is I kind of wish, and I know this would break up him and Willow, which would be sad, but I kind of wish that he had gone over to Angel, too. Because I feel like his vibe would be very funny mixed with Cordelia and Angel's.
Well, Ariana, as a newbie, I think you and I can both see, like, Angel has a very light cast. It's seeming like it's just made up of, like, guest stars right now, which is strange. So I feel like that's meant to build up a couple character changeovers over to Angel. And I wouldn't be surprised if Oz was the next, quite frankly. But that means that
I do
Willow,
feel like they right now I feel like Buffy feels like it has too many people. It doesn't know what to do with.
it doesn't feel very balanced in that fashion. And it's like, it's almost to the point where I don't see a point for Giles, because they have to write him in at this point. And that's strange, because he's not on the same set as them anymore, so they have to, like, call him to include him, as opposed to he's already there. So that's another weird thing. That
also, he always acts like he doesn't want to be there. I don't know what's up with this new grumpy Giles, who's like,
I
would rather have
grumpy Giles.
Hugh Hefner Giles.
I love his
like Hugh Hefner Giles
motorbike like girlfriend, etc. Like I really enjoy like what we had from Giles this season. But yes, it is obviously a bit stilted, that they don't have like a base of operations like the library.
Why would they just let him work at this library? It's so simple. He's jobless.
Too easy.
They could work at his house. That's fine. I know he doesn't want them there.
It is a problem that needs to get solved. And
I think this is the introduction of season 4. They've completely moved places. Buffy is feeling very out of her element. And I think we're kind of meant to see that everybody is really spread out and not in a central location anymore. I think that's kind of part of the vibe of Buffy trying to indoctrinate herself into college and finding this new version of herself.
Speaking of spreading out, does no one care about Cordelia in this show? She's not been brought
up
once.
Of course not.
Well,
they didn't even care about her when she was
at
their school.
Yeah, she moved away to go to her whatever her life is now. Like, you know, they don't know or care, probably.
It's strange, because, like, the final scene we have with her, Natalie, is really just them, like, la-di-da, walk off into the sunset, we blow up the school. And I remember thinking, like, I still don't know what Xander or Cordelia are doing. This is really strange, because jumping into the new season, I already feel like they're going to just not care about it, not mention it. And Xander is, like, in a weird place, too, because he's, I guess, like, transitioning into like bum life in a way, but I also feel like we're gonna see more of him. He could be interesting because of his bad home life, and we keep hearing a lot about how his parents are trying to make him pay for everything, and it's kind of crazy. So I think that could be cool, because that could be a build up from like when he was sleeping in his sleeping bag on Christmas.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I really feel like they're underserving Xander this season, and I wish we could see him more.
I've liked him better this season. I don't know if it's just because he's there less, but like what he's had to say and the way he's acted about stuff has been like more like less terrible.
It's been better, yeah, but he still did tell gross. Buffy, he was like, I still imagine you naked all the time. So
he didn't say that, did he? In
401 he goes, in my alone time, I also imagine you without clothes, as opposed to, he was also saying, trying to be inspirational, I imagine what Buffy do if I'm scared and I'm alone. So it's like, he's still gross, but he's
less gross.
Is
he, like, saying
gross.
That as a joke, or is it, like, legit? Like,
well,
I
Buffy
don't really
goes,
understand.
No, because Buffy went, like, can that be one of those thoughts that you don't share with me ever again? So it was still creepy to her. And it's sad that he's still there.
Is that just like all straight men just think about every woman that they know like that? Is that just like a thing?
Oh God, no, it's probably not. I wouldn't know myself, but I have the inclination that they could write Xander to be more mature at this point. And that they're trying, I don't know what they're trying to do.
I think he is maturing. I mean, I feel like he's maturing. I don't want to keep hating on him, because I know then people hate on me. But I do think that he is maturing. A little bit. I wish we could see him more, because he's never around except to like eat at lunchtime, and then that's kind of weird because like what are you doing there? But
I agree that I think he's maturing a little bit, and in this episode I think we see that when he's at the table. I mean, he makes the comment about like, of course that guy likes you, like, you know, you're Buffy, and he didn't say it in a way that came off as like jealous or anything. He said it like fact, and I just think
both
that's
of the boys
a huge
did.
Step.
Oz did as well. Like,
yeah,
and Oz was like, "Yep, that's a sign," kind of thing. Like,
and it just it feels nicer. Like a step forward for Xander, which is really nice.
I think he's a bit jaded from the world too, because you did have to go and be a male stripper at one point, of which I wouldn't mind seeing. Kind of like it feels like Sam from Glee, like fell into poverty, became a male stripper.
I knew you were gonna say that.
I knew you knew I was gonna say that too. Oh God, Natalie, that's weird.
Back to like the point of the roommate issue. I want to bring up Willow, because obviously Willow has a roommate she doesn't necessarily like either, because there's always a party in her room. I think we're meant to come away from this, and even Willow says it at some point, you know, yeah, I have a crappy roommate too, you just deal with it.
Yeah, she doesn't have like a crisis.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the way that she deals with it is not going to her room, which is, you know, communication, guys. Communication is very important. You need that sort of thing.
You just don't study in your room in college. Like that one guy who got angry when they were having their fight. He's like, some people are trying to study here. No, that's for real. Yeah. Like, what Willow's living through, that's a pretty common college experience from my expectations, what I've had. So I think I'm with you guys. Like, yeah, Willow, she kind of knows that, like, there's nothing you can do. It's just roll with it.
Which is probably a better attitude to have. But also, Willow is feeling a lot more comfortable at college than Buffy is, I think. She's sort of found her people.
With her super fab haircut, might I add.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't like it. I miss her old little bob. I thought it was
Willow
so
in general, like, out of school. Like, and I think, I don't know if it's Oz or if it's just, like, feeling powerful. But, like, she's got a real different, like, look and tone in her humor. Like, she's a lot sharper in her kind of sassiness, or like, and it sort of translates into how she looks. She's got harder edges, I think.
She's a lot more stylish too, which, like, I really liked her old frumpy clothes because it's just like Willow in my brain, but
yeah,
she's definitely changing, and I think that's interesting.
Like, I miss, like, I think she wore the overalls in the hyena episode. And she wore, like, a Scooby-Doo sweater at one point. Those were cute. And I like those bits of Willow. But I think she's gained a confidence that, I don't mean this physically, but I mean this personally, in terms of her personality, that she has a confidence. And as they say, confidence gains you a lot of sexiness. She is just hot now. And it's amazing to see, I think, one of the most beautiful developments of a character on the show so far.
But I think that her arc is really reflective of how a lot of people who are considered nerds in high school feel like when they go to college, because she always kind of felt out of place with the high school kids, and she was like the one teaching them sometimes, which is bizarre, but I mean, that's what would happen. And so now it's like she's in her element. She's with other people who are really smart, and so she probably feels more at home, and that makes her feel more confident. Whereas, like, Buffy, I'm still surprised she got into a UC because they're pretty competitive and you have to take hard classes to get into them, but
and get good grades. She kicked out of that one class. That was good for me because it made me feel like Buffy has been just so spoon fed amongst, like, you were out for a week, whatever. Like, she would just somehow, like, come through in the last bit, study and do it. But this time around, she's learning that she has to actually learn. Like, we see her, like, reading, and that's not a thing she does. It's when she's tapping the pencil and she's knowing Kathy. That's actually pretty telling of Buffy going through another arc here, and I like that. I like that Buffy's forced into a position where she's not number one anymore.
Yeah, and I think, actually, Kathy does make a good point of that at one point in the episode. I think, Ariana, you said it before about the whole, like, single child thing, and, you know, she feels like everything revolved around her. Well, it doesn't anymore, and you would hope that this would allow Buffy to mature more, but I guess we'll just have to see as season 4 goes on if that is actually the case. I wanted to know really quickly, do any of you guys have bad roommate stories?
Oh, God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Mine's probably the shortest because I've never lived with someone random ever. But the only thing that I've experienced that's even close to this is when I first started living with my partner. She's an only child and she really didn't have boundaries about food, and I have really strong eating issues. And so there were a couple of times where she ate something of mine that I had purchased and was waiting, kind of mentally expecting to go back to later. And because I have such weird eating issues, if my food is not there, then I can't eat anything. I'll get very upset. And because she had been an only child and just lived with her mother, and that they didn't have those kind of boundaries, I freaked the hell out, basically. Yeah, I feel like that's something that's probably worse with strangers, but I definitely had that experience and it was just shocked me that someone would not occur to them, you didn't procure that for yourself, therefore do not touch it unless expressly told.
Like when Buffy eats that girl's food?
it didn't ever occur to me that anyone would do that. I can't believe that this is a thing anyone thinks is okay. So I have had that rude shock, but it was in a more personal situation. And if it was strangers, I would freak out and not, like, I couldn't do it. So I've never had these kind of roommates ever.
That's probably good. What about you guys? Yeah. Mitch, you said you had one.
Honestly, just pick one, but, like, this is the worst, probably. I've had horrible,
no, you've had the worst.
It's tough. Okay, so, like, my freshman year at college, I had a roommate who didn't leave the room, didn't go to class, didn't go to the bathroom to shower, and he would consistently talk on Skype all day, and he would make little kissy noises, like, I love you, to his girlfriend that was in Hawaii, apparently. She was a nurse, yeah. And he met her in World of Warcraft, so they would play that all day and all night, and he would never sleep. And it was really strange, and he smelled really bad. And it came to the point where I literally just moved back to my parents' house because I was not having it. Like, I didn't tell anyone where I was going. It was almost like I left the note, like these kids do in the show. Like, I was just so done. So 10,000% done with this mole of a person. He looked like a mole. He, like, didn't see sunlight. It was insane. I mean, it was so weird.
Wow. That's rough.
And, like, the little Ariana roommate selection things, they don't really work. Because, like, even Kathy here is like, I wanted a roommate without, like, mental issues, but no, sorry.
Sorry, you got Buffy.
Yeah. Ariana, did you say you had one?
Yes. Well, my most extreme example would definitely be when, once again, when I was in London again, and you have, like, 15 people living in the same flat. So I was in a room with three other girls. And because we had different rooms, and one of whom was black. Well, we had this one guy who was a crazy psycho and also a total racist. This guy, who's also a total douche, he had like the douchebag tribal tattoos. So you would know he was a douche when you saw him. And so one day in class, he like made this really inappropriate comment and it really offended my roommate. And so she asked to leave because she didn't feel safe, which nobody blamed her. So she asked to leave our flat, and he found out that she asked to leave, and he went ballistic. He started walking around the whole apartment, like, slamming doors, screaming his head off. We, like, had to rush her out, and he was just, like, screaming his head off, like, ah, I'm not a racist! And we ended up, like, the two other girls who were left in my room, we, like, locked ourselves in our room and, like, locked the door and barricaded it because we were so terrified. Oh, he was a crazy pants.
Holy shit.
He was extreme. Like, this is...
Wow.
This is very extreme.
Wow.
He was also the same one who used to, because we had a shared living room that you had to walk through to get to the kitchen. So he was the same one who used to have sex on the couch. On Saturday morning, Friday nights. So Saturday morning, it's 9 o'clock and I'm walking into the kitchen to go get my food. And he's laying there naked with some strange Australian girl.
Oh, no.
Not Natalie.
Natalie, was it you?
Yeah,
he's just laying there naked with her, and I was just like, walk in, and I probably should have walked out, but instead I walked through and got my cereal and left.
Also had really hot roommates, really stupidly hot roommates that they just liked to walk around like in a towel or in their underwear, whatever, and they're like, he's a dude, I'm just like, avert my eyes, ah. So it's kind of like an interesting thing being gay, that like, you will sometimes have a hot male roommate, but you will not be able to do anything about it. Like, I swear I would walk around my house, eyes closed half the time, because I was like, I'm just not, I can't. It was interesting.
I think this is also interesting because, like, I kind of thought terrible roommates were mostly in television shows and movies, but clearly not. I've never had an issue with a roommate. I think part of it was because I lived with my best friend for 4 years, and then we found somebody else who was very similar to us that we also moved in with during college, and it was like easy, like no fights, no problems, no issues. Living with Kristen, it's been almost a year, no issues, no fights. Maybe I'm just repressed, but like, mm-hmm. it's been totally fine. So,
well, don't you have scruples living with like a friend? Because I had a best friend that moved in with our mutual best friend to college, and then they ended up hating each other for the rest of their lives because they were like in each other's space for the first time, and that was such a big deal. And that's why I'm like, will Willow and Buffy ever live together, or are they trying to avoid that because they know it's such a bad idea usually? I'm like, Karen, that for some reason, Karen's living over here in the lap of luxury.
My best friend and I moved in together, and we slowly grew to hate each other.
Yeah.
And oh, no. Happened.
It's her fault, 100%.
Now I'm scared.
I know,
Karen. No, I just think you have to pick people. I mean, I guess if they're your best friend, like, you feel like you know them, but I don't know. Maybe I've just been really lucky. Maybe I shouldn't try moving in with anybody else for a while.
Oh, it's like a thing. Like, me and my friends know we will not live with each other because we like each other too much to do that to ourselves.
Yeah. Some people you can like a lot and just can't live with. That's mm-hmm. just how it goes. But, yeah. Okay. That's all very interesting. Thank you for sharing. Last question about this episode is, there was a part here where Oz and this random girl sort of share a look. And I want the newbies to tell me what you guys thought.
Ariana, I don't like remember during... that. But, oh my god, I'm excited. Because if Oz has secrets, that means he'll have something to do.
Ariana, it was totally, it was totally like a wolf mind-reading thing. I'm sure she's a werewolf, too.
Wait, when did this happen, though?
It's so random.
Was he not paying attention?
He's walking to meet Buffy in the middle of, like, shrubbery, because mm-hmm. that's where they meet up, apparently, and it's nighttime, and she's walking with a group, and she's kind of, like, I think goth with some, like, chin-length hair, if I'm remembering correctly. It's like 5 seconds.
What color hair?
Black.
Oh my god, yeah. What if he finds his wolf pack, guys? That would make me so happy.
I'm pretty sure that's what that was meant to be, and I got that immediately because it was like this animalistic look of like, you know how like sometimes like a cat will see another cat and they kind of just stare at each other, and that's how
what
they're
connecting? What if he cheats on Willow in his wolf form, like in The Magicians when those people have sex and they're ferrets?
I wonder if
it
still counts.
Is it ferrets that they are?
In the book it's foxes. I don't know if in the show they made it not like,
oh my
interesting. Like, no, honestly, though, reading? Like, would that count for Willow? Like, would she be like, you impregnated her with a wolf baby? You know, like, because he doesn't seem to remember what he does when he's a wolf. Like, he remember that one time he ate someone and he was like, oh, I'm full. So I don't know if he knows to tell her in the first place, but, like, this is going to be like Maury. We're going to have to do, like, a paternity test on the other rough girl's baby, and then we'll be like, yeah, you're the father! Like, this could be fun.
I feel like it would kill that poor girl, because it would be, like, changing in her womb. But I guess it would only change with the moon, so.
Oh, that would suck. Yeah, because, I mean, already we know of, like, Todd the werewolf that bit Oz, so it's not like they're not vicious from a young age. It'd be another freaking Breaking Dawn thing, like a vicious baby ripping out of the mom's stomach. This would be so stupid. I do not want this.
Okay, I literally intro'd this with a glance, and now you guys are talking about ravenous babies erupting from
no,
the
honestly, Karen,
womb.
It's, when we're talking so about clearly. Buffy and crazy plot lines, it's only a matter of time until it leads back to Twilight. It's going to happen.
I just love that, like, in the span of 2 minutes, you made up this completely ridiculous, although potential storyline. But I was like, hey, they shared a glance. Ariana was like, oh, I missed it. Mitch is like, it's going to erupt from her womb.
Oh, it will. It'll be like alien style. Just.
Okay, well, just keep that in mind. Possible were babies and all, I guess. I don't know.
It'll be cute. Little baby pup, you know? Like.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, let's jump into favorite scenes now. Mine's stupid, and I know you guys don't really like it, but it's when Buffy chugs the milk just
ew.
Because
oh, I hate it so
the
much.
Gross
she's
sound
being a
makes.
Brat.
She upset me.
She's being a brat, but like, it's so funny. I don't know.
Was anyone else really worrying about the floor? Like, she's staining the hardwood floor the whole time?
No. No.
I was really upset about
that. I was just so angry that she was eating roommate's food.
Yeah, it was kind of mean, but. Ugh. It was funny.
Really mean.
Mitch, what was your favorite scene?
So mine is the specificity of the slow-mo toenail clipping, because the way they made it flip in the air like that. Who, like, was that? That must have been a real toenail. I don't even know. It was a strange circumstance that they would be able to catch a toenail flinging so perfectly through the air like that. Only on Buffy.
It was uncomfortable.
It was strange. It was really weird, but I kind of liked it.
Yeah. Ariana?
Mine was Buffy's roommate, who I actually really liked, and I definitely related more to her than to Buffy. I used to iron my jeans in college, and you know what? That's totally fine.
But Buffy. Jeans don't wrinkle.
And I never stole anybody's food either. So.
Oh my god.
Yes. And Natalie.
I kind of wanted to go for the opening scene where Buffy discovers that Giles jogs and has a scooter fetish and stuff. But no, I actually loved when they send her over to Giles's when she's being homicidal and then catch her with the net and leave the boys to kind of look at her, and they're all like, yeah, we should probably check that she's tied up, and they both sort of just stand there and nudge each other, and it's amusing to me. I wasn't thinking about it in a Zoz fashion.
Oh, come on, Natalie, it was there. It was there.
I like the mixing of characters, you know, that don't always get to interact, and like exploring, like, you know, potential chemistry that we haven't seen yet, and that's as much as I'll say about Zoz.
I like that it's the two different Z sounds, but with two different letters. It's such a unique ship name.
Yeah, it is interesting, I'll give you that.
Thank you.
Alright, let's jump into favorite lines. Mine is from Oz, because he's great, and he just says, well, I'm not saying we'll braid each other's hair, probably, but I can hang with her, watch for signs she's going over the edge. And just the fact that he threw in that probably, like, he wasn't totally sure, it might happen, just makes me love him even more.
Tell me everyone else pictured Buffy trying to braid his short hair, because I did.
I did not.
No, I pictured him braiding her hair. Yeah. I feel like they could be really good friends.
They could. They get along really well in this scene. It was cool.
They are really good friends in real life. Sarah and Seth Green are really, really good. Like, they're one of the closest relationships that came out of the show, so that may have something to do with it.
But they have not had, like, any scenes together. This scene did kind of feel like fan service in a weird way. Like I was saying, it felt like they wrote him in on purpose. Here, like, didn't really have a reason for Oz in this episode, so, like, let's go have a walk with Buffy. Why not?
Well, so he can meet that wolf girl that he's gonna make babies.
Yeah, he's gonna make an alien baby with her. Oh, God. I laugh every time I think about that now, Karen. You've risen that imagery in my mind.
I didn't. You're the one that started it. Anyway, let's go with your favorite line, Mitch.
So same scene. It's when Buffy's talking about how she apparently beat up Kathy, which she did not yet do at this point, so that confused me. And then Oz goes, so either you hit her or you did wacky mime routine for her. And then Buffy's like, well, I didn't do either, actually, but she deserves it, don't you think? Oz just goes, nobody deserves a mime, Buffy.
He's so good.
It's quick. It's just like he knew that already.
That is the best line. You got it, Mitch.
Well, it's because they wrote the doc. Here we go.
Yes. And Ariana, you've talked about yours a little bit already.
Yeah, so mine was when Buffy's roommate lays down the real talk. Your problem is not that you're spoiled, is that you're spoiled. Maybe the world revolved around you where you used to live, but it's share time now. Mm-hmm. Ugh, Buffy.
And then she drinks the milk. Natalie, yours was actually my second choice because it was also great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's an extension of the Buffy and Oz scene as well when they're out walking together and she is ranting about her roommate and being, you know, he's being a nice shoulder to cry on, and then she takes out her anger on a park bench and smashes it, and he kind of just says, on the plus side, you killed the bench, which was looking shifty. And he's just so good with her. Like, he's good with everyone, but he's so good with, like, I don't know, he's so stabilizing, and he's like, I just want to be around him all the time. Maybe not when he's a werewolf, but all of the other time, I want to be around him and just have him, like, he doesn't condescend about people's problems, but he also kind of very quietly brings you back into yourself and perspective, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you feel like you're being, like, you realize you're being ridiculous, but he doesn't make you feel, like, embarrassed about it.
Yeah, he doesn't like tease you or like, you know, cut you down about it. It's just his approach to the world makes you have a bit of a grip on yourself, and I love him.
And it's come to the point, too, where I feel like I would only really be genuinely upset if either him or Giles died in the course of the show, because everyone else, and Buffy's not going to die, Angel's not going to die, but everyone else, just they're not expendable, but they wouldn't crush me as much. It's like these two characters have a certain aspect that I think grasps the audience, like the characters and the actors themselves. They make them a lot more interesting, they're really fun, and that's where I wanted to say to you, Adriana, if Oz dies, we riot. Because wouldn't that be so sad if we talked him up so much, and then this wolf girl ends up killing him in like a wolf battle?
I feel like that's really stupid. I also feel like he's being underutilized here, so I would not mind him going to Angel. That is my hope.
Yeah, that would be cool.
He goes to Angel.
That would be the next best move. They better not kill him because they're building up him, though. That would really suck.
So our options are Wolf Baby or Angel. Gotcha.
Or murder.
Or murder. Take your pick. That's always an option. No, murder is terrible. But speaking of Angel, let's jump into that. We got episode 102 here, Lonely Hearts. And in this episode, Angel is lonely as he continues to get hit on by men and monsters, but no one can replace what he had in Bangel. I can't believe you made me say that. When folks are showing up dead in bed, an undercover law enforcement agent named Kate has Angel pinned as the serial killer. Turns out there's actually an eviscerating demon worm that does its deed post the nasty, but it's passing between lonely folks faster than Angel can jujitsu it to death. Angel finally corners the demon and his new bartender friend, and of course Angel has to burn the man to a crisp because he's tortured and can't have nice things. My first big question about this is, clearly you've already touched on it a bit here in the doc, Mitch, but we're seeing a lot of blonde women in these first couple of episodes.
Oh my gosh, yes.
That Angel is talking to and rescuing and working with. Do you think this is on purpose?
It has to be.
I think he definitely has a type, and I feel like they're trying to play up the, like, Buffy thing.
Nat, do you have any thoughts on this in particular?
Yeah, it's very possible, yes. It's very, very possible that it is something that they are doing on purpose in order to kind of, that's what he's automatically drawn to. That's, you know, he looks around and he sees her. I mean, we've seen her seeing him as well, you know, like in the previous episode, like she kind of not hallucinates him, but like things catch her eye that are like people that vaguely resemble him. Mm-hmm. So
that was a good moment too. We forgot to mention that was really cool. They cast that actor fairly well to get a good lookalike. Maybe it's a stunt double.
Could be. Interesting concept. Now I'm gonna look that up.
I think it was actually David because, like, and then they switched out the actor because he's, at least on IMDb, I don't know, could be wrong, obviously, but he's listed as uncredited. So I wonder if that first glimpse, like, actually was him and then they switched it out with another actor.
Well, another thing is, too, would they actually list a stunt double or would they just list them as the actor? You know, because that's a weird meta thing because it's like, they're meant to be the actor. You're not supposed to see the stunt double.
I think if that were the case, like this specific case, probably the stunt double would be listed. But
yeah, okay. Yeah, that's specific to this. I agree with that. But yeah, no, it's weird and it's kind of stupid because like they all kind of seem to have so-so personalities except for Tina, and she died and she was cool. And yes, Karen, she was Emma Duvall's mom on screen, which is really awesome because when you said that in the podcast, it blew my mind because
it's
so
Tina the one from the pilot?
She is. Did you find her intriguing?
I didn't like her. No, but I like this police lady. I was actually super excited that it seems like she might be recurring, like the law enforcement side.
I don't watch Agent
Carter. But I do like her.
Do you think she's like her, I think you watch it.
I do not watch it.
No. She kind of reminds me a bit of her. Do you see what I'm talking about, though, from the movies?
I don't watch the movies either.
Oh my god, no.
Yeah, what are you talking about? Scream? I've never seen anything.
No, I'm talking Marvel, Agent Carter.
I haven't seen
Do you mean looks-wise?
No, but I think, like, balls out-wise.
She's, like, tough?
Do you mean Sharon or Peggy?
Peggy.
She reminds me slightly more of Sharon than she does of Peggy, not just because she's blonde.
Yeah.
But
that's where
I don't know. I like her anyway.
I'm sorry for interrupting you. You were saying something before I got an Agent Carter.
Oh no, I was just saying that I didn't really care for Linda because, well, okay.
Tina? Linda, who's Linda?
Is it Linda the girl from the first episode?
Tina.
I don't remember.
Tina.
So, the first episode, I was really like, I was worried for like the show Angel because I was hoping to really like it. And the first half, I was just like not into it. It was so sappy and stuff with Tina. And then she died, and then we got to Cordelia, and I was like, okay, I really like this now. And I felt like this one was more fun like that, too. I like, what's her name, the sheriff lady. I think she's kind of fun, too. She, like, has her own secrets.
She's all right.
She
can roll with punches.
I like Angel being drunk in the first episode. That was good.
Well, he was acting drunk, right?
No, I think he really was.
No, he was acting drunk. Because he swings, like, a wild punch at Sawyer from Lost, and then he's like, you should have done that, bro. And then he kind of goes into his jujitsu mode after that.
Yeah, I know he, like, recovers from it, but, you know, like, I don't know if he was just... I still enjoy his drunkenness.
It was cute.
Before that.
Yeah. So, Mitch, you said that you do like Kate, and you'd like her to become a regular?
Yeah, I think... I'm not sure how to feel about this, because, like I was saying, the credits are very, very... very spread out between David Boreanaz and then Cordelia and then Doyle. Like, they just have really long sequences for them, and it feels like maybe they're like playing a fast one on us and they don't want us to know who are the regulars outside of these three right now, and she'll join in like episode 4 or someone else. Like, Spike is mysteriously missing here, I'll admit that much. I almost expected him to be in the pilot. That was strange that he wasn't, honestly. That was weird. He would have been a good kind of nemesis of sorts. I'm not really feeling this whole lawyer gang. They're just like a mob, I'm like on that.
Really?
Yeah, but I'm so on them.
You don't
so
like
far.
Them? They're so cute. I think
so
she's
cute?
Gonna be
cute.
Like there.
You think they're cute? So you think Wolfram and Hart are cute?
That's the last way I would describe them. They're sleazy.
Amazing.
So I think that the blonde lady, whatever her name is,
which one?
Kate. I can't keep up with all of these blonde girl names.
The cop one, right?
Okay, so Kate, she's like the Gordon, right, to his Batman, because Angel's like the Batman now.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he is
that's
so kind much
of the
dark.
The vibe
though.
I'm getting. So that makes Cordelia like his Alfred.
That's not what I was expecting you to say.
I thought you were
going to
say Doyle was her Alfred, his Alfred, but I'll go with that too.
I think either way, it would be interesting. For Angel to have somebody like in the police department that he could rely on.
Karen, the premise of this
that
show
would cause a lot of conflict, I think, because obviously she doesn't really know what's going on other than it was kind of weird.
The premise of the show to me, Karen, it feels a crap ton like Daredevil. Think about it, like the setup of like we're doing like a kind of undercover criminal business and a guy, two girls. The one guy is kind of like the superhero amongst the two other dumpier people because they don't have like super powers.
Dumpier people, Jesus Christ.
Like, he has blue spiky face and gets migraines, woo. And Cordelia she's a sharp tongue, I'll give her that much.
How do you feel about Doyle, Mitch? Like, what are your thoughts on this guy?
I really like his accent. It's kind of sexy.
You like him?
And I like the fact that he doesn't really have a purpose. He's just, like, there to be, like...
Exactly.
He moves along the plot because he's convenient. That's really all he does.
You like that he doesn't have a purpose.
Yeah, it's kind of cute. It's just, like, he's just this little doe-eyed thing on the side that's just like, Cordelia, love me.
I don't think I like him, and I'm sad about that.
Yeah.
I sort of just feel like he's in the way. Like, he's not contributing anything, and I don't really think he's funny. I think his humor is supposed to be that he's, like, in love with Cordelia, but I thought it was much cuter when Wesley was in love with Cordelia.
I know, what happened
I don't
to
know why Doyle seems a
England.
Little bit grosser about it, even though definitely Wesley was the one who was, like, hitting on a high school student, but...
You know, Adriana, I wouldn't worry about it because I have the inclination that Spike's going to come on in, rip out Doyle's throat, and be like, Angel, I was your
best
friend.
And then Oz will come on?
And then Oz will come on to be like, we got to control the Spike situation.
Oh my god.
No, Spike's going to come in. Like, what's he going to do, Adriana? What do you see Spike doing when he comes in eventually? Because him and Angel are tight.
He'll join their crew. Oh, he's gonna get along so well with Cordelia. So they'll be like best friends. They'll be dressing each other up because they're both like into fashion.
That's so cute. But where's Drusilla in all this? She's so weirdly absent from like even season 3 of Buffy. It's really strange. I don't know why she's not.
She left him. She dumped him.
I know, but she like loves
anymore because she's a psychopath.
Like, I know. I feel like she would still love Angel. She would be like, let's pretend you're Angelus.
That's in bed. Probably true.
So I'm missing her too here. I really feel like this is where I would have been happier with a more fleshed out cast in Angel's pilot.
Maybe I would like Drusilla on Angel because then she'd be fighting against Cordelia. I think I would just like everybody more on Angel because Cordelia has more to do instead of them interacting with Buffy, who right now is being a brat.
But the strange thing about the show is that it feels like it's only like a guise that they're trying to play good people now. It feels like there's only a matter of time before people like Spike and Drusilla come in and they make this all like, we're the villains now. Like, I mean, dream show here. I'm with Brittany. They turn him into Angelus again. And then it's like Cordelia and Doyle and Oz versus like Spike, Drusilla, and Angel again. That would be really fun. Or Angelus. I think that would be a lot better of a show. Because this show does start to feel like a bit of episode of the week, like beginning of Buffy, from the point that it doesn't feel like these characters really have anything to do. They just sit around in their office waiting for like the, you know, magic bat icon in the sky, and that seems really lame. They don't have like an ultimate purpose to save the world, and if that's what this mob is supposed to do, I'm not into it.
So far both the episodes have had like kind of their one-offs, but they've been going into each other. Like last episode was Angel finds Cordelia, this episode was Angel finds that blonde girl who's probably going to be important. So
if she's important,
things have been happening.
It maybe should make it more interesting, but I feel like we need a bigger villain here. This is where I'm seeing the show as being a bit dry.
You want a master.
I want a master. I want a Spike. I want a mayor. There's no one in here.
Hey, Mitch.
Yeah?
It's only episode 2. They've already dropped
some hints. Maybe Doyle is the bad guy.
So, just hang on.
What was that, Karen?
They've already dropped some hints.
Yeah.
So let's just hang on and trust in the show.
The overarching payoff of Angel is, in my opinion, incredible.
So season 1 or series wide?
Series wide, okay. And you need to pay attention to everything.
Oh, I'm like taking notes, trust me. I'm into this.
They're on, and obviously, even if you've seen Netflix, like, you know, like preview pictures, which are full of spoilers, FYI.
No
shit. There is a bigger ensemble cast, and the people who come through the Angel ensemble cast, whether they're from Buffy or not, are just amazing. Like, amazing, 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 like, characters that are so good. And the twist of, you know, you feel like right now that it's, like, aimless and that there's no villain or whatever. The twist, many twists of that, are incredible. Like, you have to pay attention to what they're saying about, you know, like, don't brush off what has even already been seen in these two episodes in terms of Doyle, like, things that Doyle have said, things with, like, the villain and the, you know, the guy in the first episode and, like, the lawyers, like, you know, the undercurrent of, like, what's going on here, as opposed to just being like, demons running around, that like there is, you know, like some sort of establishment, you know, that is protecting people. Like, it's kind of more, a little bit more true to life in that, like, oh, you know, because with Buffy and, you know, every supernatural show, you're like, do people know about this? Like, does the law know about this? Is everyone covering it up or whatever? Like, this really goes into that. So,
well, as long as the main villain of the show doesn't remain to be like sexism in Hollywood and its effects on culture, I'm cool. Like, I think Doyle has to be the person that comes out of left field again and is evil, because he came out of left field in the pilot. He just shows up and he's like, "Do you have a beer?" Angel's like, "Why am I not kicking out?" He's like, "Because of reasons."
Do you remember what he said?
He was, Ariana, help me here. He was like, I'm here because the guy, the big one, the one with the power, tells me what to do. Like, he says that I have to, like, use these visions and save people and help people, and that's my thing. And that's in the Nia's parentage of one human, one demon parent. But I don't get why he's blue and spiky. What does that do?
Maybe they're trying to get Angel. Well, I mean, I don't know. But when you said that, I was like, well, maybe they're trying to get Angel to lose his soul, like to be happy because he's saving people and then he can lose his soul.
Oh, there's more than one way to lose your soul, Angel. That's kind of cute.
but I don't know. Now I'm starting to think, I don't think that Doyle is evil, like mwahaha evil, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's like having to be evil, like regretfully, because he has to like save like his dying evil. Sister or something. You know what I mean? Like being manipulated into being evil, and then in the end he's redeemed some way.
So do you think he's getting in Cordelia's pants because he wants to be as close as he can to Angel so that he can use Angel against...
No, I think he wants to get in Cordelia's pants because he's gross.
Oh, yeah. He's a bit nasty with it, too, the way he's doing it. He's
Yeah, I know.
He like, That's gets what too I mean. Wesley was cuter about off. It. Yeah. Like, I don't really ship
he's
it that
just
much.
Like, oh my gosh, she's so pretty. And this one is like, oh my gosh.
And for real, though, like, Cordelia in this show is just smoking hot, beautiful, gorgeous, awesome acting. I see why a character like Doyle would like her, but it makes me sad because it makes me feel like she's being generalized into, like, the pretty girl at the office you hit on as opposed to an actual character with actual development. I want to see her break out of that. Maybe gain a supernatural power. Make her, like... I don't even know.
She doesn't need a supernatural power. Aww. She's just fine, okay? She's...
You wouldn't be happy like if she gained one in the show?
I mean, I like her right now as the human. She has a job. I feel like she does have... Like, when he said that she has a very humanizing influence on Angel, I do think that that's true. I think that she brings a lot to the table.
I just love how your ship all like the way from the dumpster is coming back up, Ariana. This is amazing. Like, you called that way back when.
Okay! He smiled again in this episode.
Yeah, he did.
It makes me so happy that he always smiles around her. Like in the first episode when he saw her and he smiled because she's just like ridiculous and he likes it.
I feel like there is, like if we want to talk shipping, I feel like there is a really important, like I like those ships because, you know, there's sometimes a ship where, you know, with Buffy, it's like everything's so fraught. And yes, it might be this one particular version of like, happiness, like with this one particular version and potential of, oh, the greatest, deepest, most heart-stabbing love ever. Like, you know, sorry, I'm just like pounding myself in the chest with a flash drive like it's a steak.
I can see it because you're like, the deepest, hardest love.
There's that. But then, like, some that, you know, crashes and burns, and there's something to be said for, like, finding, like, love with people that are literally just make you happy and that it's, like, more comfortable and comforting and that it's not, like, so, like, desperate.
One might say, do you believe in life after love, Natalie?
Sheer enjoyment. I believe in life after love.
After love, after love, after love.
I do. I feel like that you can move on from that kind of, like, heart-stabbing to something that's, like, much calmer and ultimately nicer.
Well, what I do love about this Whedonverse show is that he totally flips the whole standard of, like, the girl is the guy's girlfriend. No, he is Buffy's ex, and that's no... Like, he's known for having dated the Slayer. She's the more important person in that whole schematic thing, and I like that a lot about the fact that his whole life... is basically him being miserable because he can't have the girl, but she was, like, too good for him in a way. It was amazing. I love that that was the way that the premise of the show started. It feels a bit lame still. Like, it does feel like there's nothing to do, but it still makes me happy because it's such a subversion of culture.
And this whole, like, okay, Natalie, I need to talk to you about this because...
Oh, I'm gonna die. I can't... Everything they've said in this episode, Karen, I cannot believe what has been said in this episode.
It's incredible.
Like, Buffy and AJ, it's amazing. It's unbelievable. I can't just even... Just so you know, you guys. Yeah. You amaze me.
So yes, Doyle's evil. We've gotten it done. Like, but like a neutral evil,
yes,
though.
Obviously.
A neutral evil.
Okay, but... This is Angel, so I need to talk about Angel, Natalie, and I'm just like you. I can't believe that I haven't realized before, like, how pathetic Angel is. Like, it's endearing, I'm going
to
say.
I knew he was on this show, and that's why I really wanted us to do it. I knew that Angel and Angel was something I enjoyed. I just forgot that, like, or never noticed it in Buffy. I took him too seriously in Buffy, and then rewatching Buffy, I'm like, ah, you... yeah, you're still you. I like you.
So awkward. I couldn't look at the television. I buried my face in my hands
when he was when he was trying to talk to people at the bar.
They think that he's hitting on them, and it's just Natalie. I had you in my mind the whole time because he has so many literal flop moments in this show. There's a moment when the eviscerating worm Dian inside of whoever throws him against a wall, and the way he flops is just so pathetic, and it makes me die. I can't even think of it. I can't even. I'm with you, Karen. I bury my face in embarrassment for the character. It's Angel.
So cute and ridiculous, and I love him. He's so stupid, and it's just so funny because he is.
You know what's something?
Yeah, he's not brooding. He's not a dark brooding. He's lame. It's great.
It's funny that Cordelia is you don't know who you're getting into right now. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Maybe he's jealous.
She knows he's good at fighting and stuff. He's pretty old for a vampire. He's survived a lot. So he's pretty good at fighting, I guess.
But so is this demon worm thing. It seems like that kind of comes innate with becoming a demon.
I think one of my favorite things, too, about this about this series is that Cordelia realizes how lame he is, and she treats him like he's lame.
The way she reacts to the whole icon she makes for the business card, and he's just he's trying to figure it out, and he's trying to be polite toward her, and she's like, shut up.
He needs this. It's so good. Ariane, I knew you would love this. Is a strong word, but I knew it would speak to you.
Speaking of I can see Angelus going.
I am, love is a strong word, but I'm definitely, really liking it. I find myself when I finish the Angel episode, I'm like, oh, I want to watch the next one, and then I can't.
Ariana, the thing I find interesting about this show is I think it was the creepy vampire man that tried to get Cordelia in the end of the pilot. I think he was talking to Angel, and he kind of pulled a Mayer, if I'm remembering correctly, and he was like, you're looking at all, maybe it was Doyle, someone. They were like, you look at the blood of the victims that you've saved, and you're like, wow, this is one life versus all of the ones I've saved, and you're still craving Buffy. That was a really interesting, I think that was Doyle, Natalie, you would probably know, because I think this is what you're leaning me toward.
I don't remember this part.
What are you talking
you don't remember
about?
When someone said this?
You're talking about the guy who comes and follows him around and is like, hey, stop eating rats.
No. I'm not talking about Rune from Gilmore Girls. I'm talking about, it's in Angel. There was someone, I think it was either Doyle or that creepy vampire from the pilot, that was basically telling Angel, you're going to be evil. It was like a Chekhov's gun that they presented to the audience to say, Angel craves human blood more now that he's drunk Buffy's.
It was like, when was the last time you had blood? And he was a month ago.
Was that Doyle?
No, it was Doyle. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I'm more and more convinced now that we're just saying it out loud that Doyle has to be evil because he's pushing him. He's saying, and then there's even a moment when.
I don't think that's true. I did not read that like that, FYI.
It felt like
I really did not.
It felt weirdly evil coming out of him, and I didn't see anything else until we started talking about it. And now I'm putting all the dots together. I'm like, why? So I know that's going to be a plot. He's going to at least once drink from a human. Maybe it'll be Cordelia because she'll get a paper cut and it'll be all angsty like Twilight all over again, like New Moon, whatever. I don't know. It could be really interesting to see that develop. And that's something that I could see
I don't know if I agree that they're deliberately sending out evil Doyle signs.
No?
But, no.
How'd you read
I think I'm hoping that he's evil because he's boring to me right now. And so.
Well, that's why he's evil, because he's boring. Because he has,
And he does do really strange things. And, why are you doing that?
Very evil cards, though. They're not just
why did you find Angel? You reminded me, though, whatever happened to that guy, the one who found him eating the rats?
He kind of just showed up in Angel.
Literally nothing.
Yeah.
And then he left?
I would have, he should have been in this. He should have been, Doyle. they should have put him in instead, possibly. But
it feels like a similar character, basically.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if they tried to do that and then that guy wasn't available and they're like, oh, we'll do a new character. Because it's someone that's Irish who's relating him they dress the same, they look the same, Angel's Irish in his background. I feel like it's all it was meant to be the same.
Because I figured he wasn't that guy since Angel acted like he had never seen him before.
Right.
But he does act remarkably like that other guy. And then when they introduced that guy, it seemed like they were playing him up to be, like, recurring in some way, and then he never was. So.
Kind of like the barkeep in Buffy. Like, he kept showing up every once in a while, and he would have more information.
Willie the Snitch?
Yeah, I expected him to show up.
Yeah, he's just, like, a long-term, like, he's just...
Which is fine.
Window dressing. Like, he's just someone in the town that they use when they use it.
He's kind of like the bartender and Friends. Like, I'm fine with that. They need characters like that to flesh out a universe, and that's where I'm with you, Adriana. Like, I thought Rune would be back
by now. Buffy does that well.
Yeah.
Buffy does that well with the townspeople.
It does.
And, like,
it does.
High schoolers and stuff.
My last question about this is just, again, about Angel and him being awkward. But at the end... Okay, he's like, hey guys, let's go out. And they're like, you just want to sit here in the dark, don't you? And he's like, yes.
and so, like,
they let him. And I'm just wondering, like, okay, it's really funny, but also, like, what does this mean? Like, do we still have to worry about him? Or is he like me and he's just happy to be alone in the dark all the time?
He's just a weird introvert, and I like it. Like, it's cute. Like, I don't know, I think it's so, it's definitely played like, it's not like, leave me alone, I'm too dark for the world. It's like he doesn't enjoy it, and he feels awkward about talking to people, and yes, that's something that, you know, should get better with practice, but it's not his personality, or at least not his personality now. It's not like, I'm depressed, or anything like that. Like, maybe he is. And it's not like, oh, I'm a creature of the night, too evil and, you know, whatever to interact with anyone. He's a big, awkward dummy, and he can't deal with socializing. Like, and I feel like that's really relatable.
I've never related to Angel more in my entire life than in that moment where I was like, I would be perfectly happy sitting alone in the dark instead of going out to a club talking to people.
Yeah, and he tries so hard to be like, guys, we can do this. You guys deserve, you know, we all worked hard. Like, this is what people do for fun, right? And then they're like...
But how great was it that they were like, we can just go home and you can just sit here. Like, they knew that he didn't really want to, and they accepted that, and it was nice.
It's like they're taking care of Grandpa. They know he's 200 years old.
Yes!
His joints are tired.
Yes! It's nice that he has people who care about him without it being this really fraught, desperate, I love you thing. It's like he doesn't have friends, you know? It's nice for him to have a friend.
And it was really nice to see Cordelia introduced the way she was, too. I guess that she was a bit of a damsel in distress, so that was annoying, but I was wondering how she was going to come in after that party, and now that she seems to, like, legitimately care for him, it's sweet. It's really nice seeing her.
Well, Cordelia always cares about people. It's just nobody likes Cordelia.
Yeah.
All right. Favorite scenes, I kind of already said mine. Just Angel sitting alone in the dark, because I relate to it, guys. You have no idea. Mitch, what was yours?
Cordelia's very chalant handing out of the ambiguous cards at the bar. Like, hello, here's Batman's card. Set up the bat signal when you need him.
Oh god, it was
very Cordelia, especially when she was like, do you need help? Oh, maybe it's just your lazy eye. Like,
she's like, we're very discreet.
Like, we won't mention that to anyone, don't worry.
Adriana, what was your favorite scene?
Mine was 100% the smile that when Angel realizes that Cordelia is secretly a slob. I feel like every episode so far we've gotten one genuine smile from him, and it makes me so happy because he didn't smile like the entirety of season 3. So
I really did like this scene that he's like amused by her apartment and
like he's all so down to business, and all of a sudden he's like, wait, you live here?
Yeah. And she's like, get over it. Like, she's not, you know. I think before, Cordelia would have tried everything to, like, cover that up and present this person that she really wasn't. And now, because of, you know, everything that happened, I think a lot of it being her relationship with Xander, but also her just maturing throughout high school and feeling comfortable around Angel, she doesn't feel like she needs to hide that sort of stuff anymore, which is really nice to see for her. Natalie, what's your favorite scene?
Well, mine was when they were sitting around the table after their attempts to hand out cards at the bar, like, talking about how it used to be easier to, like, meet people and, like, stuff, and cordially, and dating in high school, because everyone knew each other, and, like, there was already the connection, and it's, like, so true, like, fuck meeting strangers, sorry, but, like, seriously, yeah. It's, like, it's really, it's so true, like, it was funny, but, like, it is, like, Angel's like, I used to go to bars, it didn't used to be like this, and, you know, like, that was 200 years ago when everyone in the town knew each other, and just
like, did you get the impression that Doyle was old from that, because he was talking about going to, like, the small tavern, and I was like, you sound like you're relating to Angel's past.
I mean, he's a demon. I don't know what their lifespan is, but probably different.
I mean, am I meant to understand that he's older then? Or is he, like, supposed to be 25?
Well, I think he was saying it about Angel as well. He was like,
so that was the relation to Angel's plight.
It was like, it was that, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how old he is.
Do we have a name for the trio here? Is it? I know we have the Scoobies and Buffy. Is it just, like, we need a larger ensemble?
I'll tell you this now. It's kind of, like, it's on the cards, but... they're called Angel Investigations. Like, it's, and that's what the team is called. Angel Investigations.
What a long name. That's weird.
Sorry.
And it was AI, such a funny sign when I saw that on the door. I just laughed. I was like, Angel Investigations.
I love it. I love it. I love that, like, the movies so far have been like, oh my god, the, like, cello music is so bad, and, like, this is so corny, and all this other stuff, and the super fans are like, no, it's so good, you don't understand.
I have to stay not for the intro.
I like the intro music, I like, because it's so, like, Celtic influenced, and he's, like...
Yes.
Irish, like, I think it's very significant. Oh, and the montage scene in this, to that other song, which is called... I think it's called Touched By... I can't remember what the band is called. But I was obsessed with it in high school. Like,
when Angel's angsting out the window and then the demon transfers to, like, the Asian lady, I think.
Yeah, where they have the big...
Because it has to escape the doe-eyed guy and has to go to the, like, Asian lady so it can go to the bartender.
Yeah, the big montage of him fighting... Vast is the band. And, yeah, this song was, like, before I had, like... You know, when I was, like, burning CDs and, like this was, like, maybe the first song I downloaded on Napster or something like that. And it wasn't from Angel. It was just, like, for some other reason. But that, yeah, that took me back, that song in that montage. And, again, it's very, like, Celtic-influenced, like, violins and stuff. And I think it works for him, you know. I like it.
Hopefully,
I don't mind the cello
intro. Definitely didn't hate it as much the second time. It was just, I think, the first time it was so shocking.
The intro music.
Yeah. It was so shocking. It's so different from Buffy, and it's just, like, so over the top, like, with him, like, staring down and looking around. And I was like, what did I sign up for? So,
like, perched on top of the city overlooking Gotham. It was just so Batman.
I think in hindsight, though, like, it's really appropriate, and that's probably why we like it so much, and also, like, the nostalgia factor. So hopefully you guys will come to love it.
No, it's cool. Like, Karen, it's cool, but it kind of bleeds into the show because they have these really, really obnoxious transitions where, like, the scene flashes, and then, like, there's a scream or, like, just a growl or something for no reason.
Yes.
Like, they're going from, like,
transition.
Angel talking to Cordelia in the office, and they'll transition to, like, Angel at home, and it'll be like, and it's so abrupt. It is so obnoxious, and it's from the intro.
I will give you that. The transitions are horrible because I keep thinking it's
difficult.
Doyle, like, having a premonition or something, or, like, something shocking is happening that's, like, supernatural. No, it's just the transition.
Well, the editing is so weird because, like, at one point, Cordelia's talking to Angel in the office, and she finishes her sentence, and then it flashes to her talking again for half a second, and it made me feel like this is Doyle seeing her talking again. It was, like, stupid the way they did it. It's almost like they're trying to do it in, like, some kind of weird NCIS transition. You know how they, like, show a slow... pan of a character in black and white, like that kind of idea. Like, this is the abstract view of this scene, but it does not work.
I don't remember that specifically, but I'm going to pay more attention because that's interesting.
Well, there wasn't any black and white. I was just comparing it to what.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's jump into favorite lines now. I stole two of them because they go together, and I know everyone is mad at me, but I don't care because. This is me. It's when Angel says, this socializing thing is brutal. And then at the end, when they're like, we're just going to let you sit in the dark. And he's like, God, yes, thank you. And just the relief in his voice is amazing.
So cute.
It's so great. Mitch, you had an Angel line as well.
Yeah. Oh, God. Whew. Guys, you can imagine. My heart was aflutter during this little interaction. A man's walking away from Angel, and it's just... The transition is, no, seriously, I wasn't hitting on you. Oh, my God. I love that gay men are either interested in Angel or think that he's gay. Because it's funny, because he thinks he's, like, so hip and stylish with his spiky hair. But he would come off as gay in this era in Los Angeles.
No, I think so. I think he has a very gay vibe.
Yeah, and, like, just even as a person, like, he comes off as gay to me. It's so funny that everyone's like, so you're a gay actor, right? And he's like, no, God, I'm just tortured. Leave me alone.
I just listened to too much Evanescence, okay?
Yeah, but a High School Musical. Oh, Evanescence.
Ariana, what was yours?
Sorry, I'm going to interrupt for a second because I totally forgot, and this is important, that the bartender was played by Bodhi from Dawson's Creek. So I just had to give everybody a shout.
Oh, really? The husband of Joey's sister. Really?
Yes. The one who was never there. Yeah. And he would just show up every once in a while. Yeah. And I also thought it was super sad that he had to take the rap for killing all those people.
I know, because he was so messed up.
Yeah, so I had two too because Karen did it, and they're from the same scene anyway. And they're both Cordelia ones. And the first is when Doyle, like, picks up her bra, and he's so excited, and he's being gross. And she's like, that is so high school. Cordelia wears bras. Ooh, she has girl parts. So I like that she told him off.
I loved that voice.
It was amazing.
And, my other one, which is my favorite, because she was behaving the way everybody should. I don't understand why anybody lets Angel in anywhere. But when he's like, he can't come in, and he's so tortured, he's like, you have to let me in. And she's like, you promise you'll stay good?
She's so great.
Cordelia was the gem that Buffy did not appreciate, so Angel now will.
Honestly, yeah. I would never let Angel into my apartment. I'd be like, you know what? Let's hang out in the hallway.
Seriously, why not? Like, why would you bother letting him in the first place? It's like a social standard, but, like, you're putting yourself at extreme risk letting any vampire into your apartment ever. There's a reason they're not allowed in, because it's, like, a human protecting thing. Like, Spike coming into Buffy's house in that one episode still bothers me.
Natalie?
Mine was, I wanted the God, yes, thank you. But at the end when, you know, everything's kind of out in the open about Angel and Kate, I can't remember. Did she get, revealed that he was a vampire, or does she just know that he's, like, a good guy?
No vampire yet, but, like, it's bound to happen.
Just demon hunter. Okay. Yeah, and
not even that. She's just like, you're just a guy who's a veterinarian, what? And he's like, yeah.
But at the end, when she's like, you know, yeah, he helps, you know, bring down that guy, and she's like, oh, I never even thought it was him, you know. Anyway, if you ever need me, or if I can help you in any way, and he gives him the card, and she's like, what is this, a lobster? I feel bad, because I actually love the Angel drawing.
Yeah, I like it too.
I think people have that tattooed, which I think is really cute, as like a very small, subtle, like, fandom tattoo, you know, like, as opposed to, like, his face or something. I don't know. Or even, you know.
And I think it definitely looks like an angel.
Yeah, it does not look like a lobster. Maybe a butterfly. Not a lobster.
Well, speaking of Kate and Angel, how did we all miss the scene where he has the batarang, or, like, the hook shot, and he's don't worry, guys, I've got this. He shoots it up into the air. The beam falls. She's like, who are you? Like, amazed for a bit. And then she's like, oh, you're a flop.
That scene... Oh, Angel. That was Angel in a nutshell, basically.
It's pretty much them saying, like, he's not Batman. Stop saying he's Batman.
Yeah.
He's a really terrible Batman.
It's definitely more, like, it's not, like, a dark, like, oh, dark, edgy, anti-hero, sad show. It is, like, quite subversive of that's kind of what you'd expect it to be.
Yeah, that's what I like about it so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I told you guys we had to watch this show, FYI. I knew that you guys would like it better than Buffy.
It was a good idea, Natalie.
Thank you. I love it so much better than Buffy, and I know that's going to get me hate mail, but...
If not just for the Cordelia-ness of it all.
I think that's why. I think that's, like, 90% why. And also because of Brooding Angel.
All of Buffy, like, season, like, pretty much all of Buffy, I've been just been like, every time you were like, Cordy and Angel.
Oh, I'm sure you were dying. Yeah.
I don't even know if I ship them, like, romantically. I just, like, love them together. I just want them to do all scenes together.
Yeah.
They do have this repertoire they built up already, and it's amazing that they can kind of work off each other, like, you've grown as a person kind of stuff. Like, that's cute.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. All right. Contact info. Once again, if you would like to get in touch with us, please email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter at re_watchable. Find us on this post on hypeable.com or get in touch with us on rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. As usual, we really appreciate reviews on iTunes, especially 5-star reviews. So if you rate us 5 stars, then I will teach you my chipmunking ways to stockpile as much cafeteria food as possible.
Oh, yes. Speaking of, what did you guys think of Parker, the potential white boy boyfriend?
You mean plain white man number 50?
You mean from last... Who's Parker?
See? Sorry. That's the thing. No, there are a lot of blonde women, and there are a lot of plain brunette white
guy,
men on the show.
Last week, there was the guy in the bookshop where the TA and the bookshelf.
Oh, the Buffy one. Oh, my God. He
and
doesn't do
her.
Anything.
They don't do anything. They're there to be doe-eyed for
the
Buffy. That's it.
This week was a different guy who was, like, you know, laughing on the bed. Like, you know.
I'm pretty sure that guy is evil. I think that he's a demon.
He reminded me of Aaron Samuels from Mean Girls. He had that vibe to him. But I take it he's going to stick around. What's his name? Riley, right? No? Is that the TA?
No, Riley's the first guy.
He's the TA.
Yeah.
So what's this guy's name?
Parker.
Parker. I feel like I'm going to get them really confused because there's no context for them usually. They just show up like, Buffy, you're lost. Look at my map.
Well, they'll probably say his name.
The best guy was obviously Oberyn Martell last week, who was like...
Wait, what? No, he was in
Ariana, did you watch last week's Buffy?
I did. I told you it takes me 3 hours to watch a Buffy episode.
You know the guy that was carrying around human bondage and was like, and then got vamped, but like Buffy had a friend for like 5 seconds of a guy that was actually kind of nice.
Yes.
That's Pedro Pascal.
No, it's not.
Yes, it
You're
is.
Lying
he looks
to me.
So white, but yes, it is him.
How were there, Natalie, this is a serious question. How were there this many white brunette men in their 20s?
He's not white.
That's
I know,
okay,
I'm not still. I'm on the fact that we still have...
The guy she bumped into is definitely white. That's not Pedro Pascal.
No. I'm not talking
him.
I'm to the point
I
where I'm
still
confused.
I swear to God, it's him. Look it up.
I meld together like all the men characters in this show right now because there's so many white
men. Oh my god.
That they just do not like designate
men. That is crazy.
They need to wear like
my mind is blown.
I had no idea either. That's incredible. All right, listener feedback. First up, we have this from Twitter, and it's from Mandy K. Natalie, why don't you read this one out?
It hurts my head that the newbies don't like Angel's theme. Also, I've watched the Angel pilot several times and never noticed the first vampire is Sawyer from Lost. I've never seen Lost, so I didn't notice this either. I don't know
who
that is.
I totally forgot to mention it, but he is there.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I like the Game of Thrones thing, I like finding those weird random cameos from people that we know from other things now. Okay, so the next one is from Beefish on Twitter. Ariana, do you want to read this one?
Beefish at Bretster87. He said, I really hope we get past Angel projecting his need to save Buffy onto these LA girls fast. I'm not here for that. That is true. That is what he's doing.
Yeah, definitely. Hopefully it changes. And from Hypable, we have LAG, who says, can the Angel theme please become the new outro music? That's interesting. Maybe I will do that. Just kidding. That's the new outro music. Natalie singing the Angel theme. Okay, and then next up,
everyone together to sing the theme and the Buffy intro theme. We record us all going, no,
you don't.
And we do that literally. Seems
like a terrible idea.
And that would become our intro. Okay. Sorry.
Maybe someday.
Anyway.
Okay, and then Mitch, would you like to get this one from Kim?
Yes, Kim writes in that we saw vampires on film in season 2 of Buffy the Vampire Slayer when Spike filmed his minions fighting the Slayer. There's also a photograph of Drusilla. Vampires appear on film in the Buffyverse. I think that there's a thing here because I thought that we had a moment where, like,
I assume this was questioned. I never really thought about
Brittany,
it.
I think, brought it up. She was saying that last episode it bothered her that Angel was in the little handycam videos from the party. And I think this might be a digital versus a old photograph thing, because old cameras used to use mirrors, and that's probably why it wouldn't show up in pictures. But now that we have newer digital technology, they would. But then again, Drusilla showing up in a picture that I think was really old but debunks that. They can show up in mirrors when it's in a camera, but just not when
I just think they're retconning everything, because, like, last week I realized
so much
that
sun.
Well, yeah, also that, how would he get into the building? But also, like, how does Angel always has, like, perfectly coiffed, gelled hair? And how
Even
does he do that if he can't look in a mirror?
I don't know. It's strange.
I don't think he does his hair. I think it just stays like that.
It's just, it's a magical thing. Like, even when he's really sweaty and jujitsuing it up with Buffy, it's still perfect.
That's also probably why he has so many issues, like, regarding feeling inferior, because he can't see what he looks like.
I mean, if he's been doing his hair for 200 years, I'd think that he could probably do it.
Do it by touch, effort. Like putting in contact lenses.
He knows. He knows.
Yeah.
All right, Natalie, you want to grab this email from Candace?
I have a question for you all about the everybody hates Xander topic. Why does Cordelia get a pass for being a bully or mean girl, but Xander gets crucified for being overly / annoyingly flirtatious? I'm not saying one is better than the other, but I do think Cordelia deserves some decent shade. Side note, please continue Mitch's musings. Please encourage Ariana to write more Hamilton-inspired synopsises. Your obedient service, Candace. Look, I'm a girl, therefore guys being gross about girls and objectifying them is always worse than pretty much anything to me. That's where I sort of fall on that. But Cordy, I feel like we have called it out when she's been really bad. But I also think that they have shown that surface for her and have shown her depth underneath. Whereas Xander, this is his depth. Like, Xander, it's like, you know, he tries to be a good guy or whatever, but it always comes back to him, like, compulsively being gross. And so it's like that's kind of what I'm counting on as well, in that I know Cordy's depth isn't like this, but this behavior from Xander, not just the flirtiness, it's more than that. It's kind of the manipulative possessiveness is something that is ingrained in him, as opposed to, like, something he's just performing. Like, I don't know. That is why I hate it. But
exactly. Thank you. What also really bothers me is the way that people react to them, which to me is more telling about what the writers believe, which to me is telling of how the world reacts to these things and society as a whole. And Cordelia, when she is terrible, all the characters call her out on her behavior.
They're like, ah, Cordelia, God, she's such a bitch.
How can you
she's
be so
Cordelia,
shallow?
Like, you know,
how
like,
so shallow. And people are always mean to her, and I feel like they don't try and see her depth at all. Versus Xander always gets the benefit of the doubt from everybody, and his behavior is worse, I think, like you said. But also, nobody ever calls him out on it. Like, it's just accepted that boys are
not
going to
hey,
sexify women.
Don't do that. It's gross. You have to stop. It's so boys will be boys, like,
yes,
about him.
And,
that's
what frustrates me, is what it says about society as a large and how we just let boys objectify women because that's how they are. Whatever.
It's totally telling of the times, too, because there are still moments, like in the Wentworth-Miller episode, when the guy gets his nose broken by Buffy, and it's like, well, she wears slutty clothes to school, so it's her fault. The show still stays in that stigma, like it's a thing. Like, it doesn't try and say that that's bad. It does say that, like, men can be more right than women from the fact that they are a man, period. And that's where I find the hate on Xander to be okay, because he doesn't have anyone doing that to him in the show. They're really just like, la-di-da, you're nasty, but it's okay. We all still like having you around. It's strange.
It's kind of like it's a standard that just people expect. Like, oh, right. Yeah, that's like a standard of how people act. Like, yeah, that's fine. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. All right, and lastly, Ariana, would you like to get our iTunes review?
Ooh. Yes! Oh, I love iTunes review. And I think that we've already said this one before, but that's okay. We can do it again.
Do it again.
Yeah, so this is by Raven Lynn, and she says, love this podcast! Exclamation mark. And she says, I am a fan of many hypeable podcasts, and this is no different. I love being able to go in-depth into discussions about some of my favorite shows. Hearing what others have to say and making me think more about things is awesome. In parentheses.
They didn't write, it's awesome, but I thought that it needed something, because it just ended. Making me think more about things, period. And I was like, hmm.
I feel like that's valid, though, making me think more in-depth about the things
hearing what others have to say and making me think more about things, period.
Oh, I don't know. Just let
I just love that you injected is awesome, because why the hell not?
I'm not going to say is horrible.
Right. Yeah, that would be sad. All right, last but certainly not least, and Ariana, please feel free to jump in on this. We have Mitch's musings. So first up,
yay!
Buffy. 403, The Harsh Light of Day.
Vampire's gonna burn. What more is there to it? It's gonna be... Mm. Oh, and also there are gonna be big secrets coming out. But it's gonna probably... Ooh. Maybe it's this Oz. Maybe it's Oz's little lovey, his girl on the side now, because we're seeing him, like, imprint on her and lock eyes with this werewolf girl. So that's gonna come into the light of day.
They shared a glance.
Oh, what's
one
the thing?
Glance.
The glance doesn't mean a lot on the show.
Really, he didn't really imprint. Do. He's not her side lady.
I mean, Oz is going to be pretty busy, though, because it's also going to come to the light of day that he's also been hanging out with Xander a little bit too much. Get a little, you know, nicky-nicky with him, so.
Okay, Xander has already ruined Willow and Oz's relationship by cheating with Willow.
I would
now
not
you
put
want
that past him,
cheat
Natalie.
With Oz?
Oh, yeah, no, he's in for it.
Okay.
So the harsh light of day could, I mean, that's like revealing a secret. That's like vampires are going to burn. Which vampire is going to burn? Do we know them? Probably not, because all the mains are over on Angel now, I'm sure. We can't kill off Spike because he still has a lot more to do, I'm sure, because he was like so tortured last time we saw him. Do you think it's going to be one we know, Adiana, that's going to burn?
Somebody that's going to burn?
Like a
I don't think so, because
burn,
right? The only people we care about are Angel and Spike.
Okay.
And Drusilla, and I don't think they would burn them in a one-off episode. If you're going to bring back Spike, then he better be, like, a series villain.
Mm-hmm.
Not, like,
yeah.
One episode he's going to die.
So maybe it's, like, another good vampire for some reason, and then it's going to be sad. Because it'll be like, oh, we liked you, and then you burn.
I like that the Buffy one is called The Harsh Light of Day,
yes,
and that the Angel one is called In the Dark.
I was wondering if you'd notice that.
So okay, so
maybe they're like where it's like back and forth. What are those called?
A crossover.
Already, that'd be quick.
Get the little crossover. Did you guys get
the phone call
crossover moment in the two premieres? Yeah.
They had a phone call.
Yeah,
that was good. See, here's my question though. This is going to be difficult because I'm assuming there are part one and part twoers of this show of Buffy and Angel. So. We're going to have to switch it up sometimes when that comes around, because I'm assuming they're going to be like crossover episodes and everything.
They still aired this way. They still aired it Buffy Angel. So they are
forever.
Designed
like
to
for
be
all.
Not designed, but like if you'd be watching it the way that it happened in the
so
show.
So we're always
like,
going to hit the same beats because there's always the same amount of episodes per season of both Angel and Buffy.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Angel got a full order for its first season. That's amazing.
Yes. Yeah, because wow. Joss is very demanding.
He is, I can tell. So In the Dark, yeah. I mean, like, didn't we already have this? Angel wanted to be in the dark because he didn't want to party. Maybe it's like, okay.
Now he wants to be in the
maybe
dark.
Maybe it picks up where it left off.
He's no, sitting there in the dark. Maybe it's just his day in the dark. Happened. Yeah, like, he's enjoying himself.
Sitting there in
himself.
The dark, in his armchair, and then somebody comes in. So somebody comes in through the window, and So maybe you shouldn't have been sitting in the dark anyway. He learns his lesson. He should hang out with his friends.
But this is going to coincide with the flashback episode, right? Like, we're going to have Angel in presence talking to someone in his house in the dark, that it's going to also show his dark past.
Oh, you think it's a flashlight? Ooh,
I think it is, because, like, thinking about in the dark, so that's saying, like, Angel's dark past, right? As in jealous? And that could be cool for Brittany. I'll be excited
Ooh.
For her. You see what I'm talking about now?
Like, I'm hoping they bring Angelus back, but I think it's too soon in the season. It would be nice. It would be fun for, like, season finale time.
And I don't think this is... I think this is way too soon to see the rune... Not the rune. God. The Doyle twist. Wrong Irishman. This is too soon to see the Doyle twist, which I know is inevitable at this point, because maybe we'll get, like, a little taste of his darkness, and that'll start to make us think, like, is there something wrong with him?
This is, like, 1999. It's way too soon. It would need to be at least mid-season.
You think? Because I don't think shows had, like, a mid-season hiatus like they do now then. So there's not going to be, like, a mid-season
arc. November sweeps, then?
Well, November sweeps. That's, yeah, they still had those. So maybe we'll have, by, like, episode 12, a Doyle reveal.
Okay.
And that was Mitch's musings.
All very, very good. And Natalie and I are just going to continue to sit here. Hashtag no comment.
Leanna, I think we're doing so... good. I think we're getting it.
Yes, hysterical laughing. That's what we're doing right now. Okay, so until next time, I'm Karen.
I'm Mitch.
I'm Arianna.
I'm Natalie.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.